Our brother Dan Stanton will exhort us and encourage us this morning. And his scripture reading for today's topic, which is, I think, based on Psalm 68. So let's read that. Psalm 68. Let God arise. Let his enemies be scattered. Let them also that hate him flee before him. As smoke is driven away, so drive them away. As wax melted before the fire, so let the wicked perish at the presence of God. But let the righteous be glad. Let them rejoice before God. Yea, let them exceedingly rejoice. Sing unto God. Sing praises to his name. Extol him that rideth upon the heavens by his name, Jah, and rejoice before him. A father of the fatherless and a judge of the widows is God in his holy habitation. God setteth the solitary in families. He bringeth out those which are bound with chains, but the rebellious dwell in a dry land. O God, when thou wentest forth before thy people, when thou didst march through the wilderness, Selah, the earth shook. The heavens also dropped in the presence of God. Even Sinai itself was moved at the presence of God, the God of Israel. Thou, O God, didst send a plentiful rain, whereby thou didst confirm thine inheritance when it was weary. Thy congregation had dwelt therein. Thou, O God, hast prepared of thy goodness for the poor. The Lord gave the word. Great was the company of those that published it. Kings of armies did flee apace, and she that tarried at the home divided the spoil. Though ye have lain among the pots, yet have ye be as the wings of a dove covered with silver, and her feathers with yellow gold. When the Almighty scattered kings in it, it was white as snow in Salmon. The hill of God is as the hill of Bashan, and high hill as the hill of Bashan. Why leap ye, ye high hills? This is the hill which God desireth to dwell in. Yea, the Lord will dwell in it forever. The chariots of God are 20,000, even thousands of angels. The Lord is among them, as in Sinai, in the holy place. Thou hast ascended on high. Thou hast led captivity captive. Thou hast received gifts for men, yea, for the rebellious also, that the Lord of God might dwell among them. Blessed be the Lord, who daily loaded us with benefits, even the God of our salvation, Selah. He that is our God is the God of salvation, and unto God the Lord belong the issues from that. But God shall wound the head of his enemies, and the hairy scalp of such as one as goeth on still in his trespasses. The Lord said, I will bring again from Bashan, I will bring my people again from the depths of the sea, that thy foot may be dipped in the blood of thine enemies, and the tongue of thy dogs in the same. They have seen thy goings, O God, even the goings of my king, of my God, my King, in the sanctuary. The singers went before, the players on instruments followed after. Among them were the damsels playing with timbrels. Bless ye God in the congregation, in the congregations, even the Lord, from the fountain of Israel. There is little Benjamin with their ruler, the princes of Judah and their council, the princes of Zebulun, and the princes of Naphtali. Thy God hath commanded thy strength. Strengthen, O God, that which thou hast wrought for us. Because of thy temple at Jerusalem shall kings bring presents unto thee. Rebuke the company of spearmen, the multitude of the bulls, with the calves of the people, till every one submit himself with pieces of silver. Scatter thou the people that delight in war. Princes shall come out of Egypt. Ethiopia shall soon stretch out her hands unto God. Sing unto God, ye kingdoms of the earth. O sing praises unto the Lord, Selah. To him that rideth upon the heavens of heavens, which were of old, lo, he that sent out his voice, and that a mighty voice. Ascribe ye strength unto God. His excellency is over Israel, and his strength is in the clouds. O God, thou art terrible out of thy holy places. The God of Israel is he that giveth strength and power unto his people. Blessed be God. With the reading of Psalm 68, let us now give our undivided attention to our brother Dan Stanton.
Thank you, Brother James. Good morning. The word exhort, which Brother Dave and Brother James both, Brother Dave used in his prayer, Brother James used it in a comment, exhort and exhortation, comes from the Strong's word number 3870, parakaleo, and I'm sure, like the rest of y'all, it doesn't matter how I say that. But it's a compound word, and it means to call near or to invite, to invoke by imploration. And some have explained it this way, which I think is very fitting. A call to stand alongside of. The word exhort means to call to stand along a side of. Last Sunday we heard some very encouraging words by Brother Bill in relation to our sojourning in the days of our probation, knowing that our citizenship truly lies in the things concerning the kingdom of God, which we firmly believe will shortly be established on this earth. Our exhortation, or our call to stand beside, is with one another because of the things that we share and we believe the same. We fellowship upon these words. But our call is to stand beside is truly comes from our Heavenly Father and His revealed Word. He expects us to be strangers and to be sojourners now, but believers are by no means alone. For He has said, "Ye are strangers and sojourners with Me. Sojourn in this land, and I will be with thee." Jacob's ladder, when we have been discussing that in our Sunday school class, this depicts very clearly that the Lord is with His saints and ministering to them as they wait the time when the kingdom will come. His written word gives us what we need to stand faithfully beside Him now. The intricacies proving the divine authorship of this book, the written word, compels us to obey it in the teachings and in its doctrines. And it builds us up in our individual faith through a study of those words. Today we'd like to consider this psalm that was read for us this morning by Brother James in a very cursory way to both exhort and to incite your interest into further consideration in your own time this beautiful psalm. That being said, we'd like to start our words this morning by a quote from the story of the Bible that's found at the end where Brother Mansfield is considering the Old Testament, and before he starts in to proceed the New Testament and the birth of Christ and the work of the Messiah, he has this to say. The coming of the Son of Man was not an absolute isolated event in the history of mankind. There was a long preparation, a continuous development, a gradual differentiation between the ages, prince after prince, ruler after ruler, prophet after prophet, and man of God after man of God were sent. They were forerunners. They were types. They were links in a chain. They all pointed onward and prepared the way for the coming prince, ruler, prophet, and man of God. The gifts, the powers, the excellencies, the glories of all were to be combined in this one. He was the crown and flower, as He was also the root of all. All the events and all the ages were marching forward to his culmination. Conscious and unconscious prophecy reached its fulfillment, in partial fulfillment as the earnest of the higher fulfillment yet to be. End quote. We'll come to see in this 68th Psalm, as we have found, it has application, certainly, without a doubt, to the life and time of its author, King David. But we see in it David's reflection on his nation's history and the circumstances surrounding the children of Israel, both in the time of Moses' wanderings in the wilderness, and also in the judges throughout the various accounts of deliverance that was made by on behalf of Israel in their historic dependence upon the name of Yahweh to save them out of their afflictions of all sorts. Furthermore, parts of this psalm are quoted by the Apostle Paul in reference to the circumstances in the apostolic age, and that's in Ephesians chapter 4. And certainly, we see the future conquest of the nations of the world foretold. David uses powerful imagery through this psalm and gives the reader a sense of God's great strength and might as he works for the deliverance of his people. Smoke, fire, shaking, and armies fleeing, rebuking, and bloodshed. All these are examples of his great force of energy welded on behalf of the redeemed. David recognized this force in his life and reflected upon what it all meant in light of the promises that he had personally received and the hope of the promises that were passed down to him in faith. Most commentators believe that this psalm was composed after the Ark of the Covenant was moved to Jerusalem by David, and while David was in the process of waging campaigns of wars and conquest over the enemies round about him. Once David had conquered Jebus, or Jerusalem, he was able to fulfill his desired goal of bringing the ark back, or bringing the ark to the place where he always knew it should be. He understood the import of the location, and it was manifested by him by the slaying of Goliath, where he brought the severed head of that characterization of sin, and he buried it in Jerusalem, as we see in 1 Samuel 17, verse 54, where it says, "And David took the head of the Philistine and brought it to Jerusalem." And we're going to be going back on this just a little bit. What a great day this would have been for this man, made king by God through his divine providence and will. David's understanding of where his success in battle lies is seen in the opening verse. If you want to keep your Bibles open here to Psalm chapter 68, it's seen in the very first verses where he calls upon Yahweh using the same words of the appeal which Moses had in Numbers 10, verses 35 through 36, where Moses says, "And let thine enemies be scattered, and let them that hate thee flee before thee. And when it rested," he's speaking of the movement of the Ark of the Covenant, "and when it rested," he said, "return, O Lord, into the many thousands of Israel." David says here in Psalms chapter 68, 1 through 3, "Let God arise." "Let God arise. Let his enemies be scattered. Let them also that hate him flee before him. As smoke is driven away, so drive them away. As wax is melted before the fire, so let the wicked perish at the presence of God. But let the righteous be glad. Let them rejoice before God. Yea, let them exceedingly rejoice." David trusted in the fidelity of Yahweh, not only to himself, but to all the faithful of all the worthies throughout all the ages. God has and will in the future risen to go forth on behalf of his people, as verse 21 of this chapter gives us this sense of a future continuation of his work. The work was not done in David's day. It is not done in our day. It says, "But God shall wound the heads of his enemies." God shall wound the head of his enemies. Similar language was used by Moses, by Deborah and Barak, by Hannah and their victory songs and their prayers that they used to the Father, Heavenly Father. Moses says this in Exodus chapter 15, 6 in his song. Thy right hand, O Lord, thy right hand, O Lord, is become glorious in power. Thy right hand, O Lord, hath dashed in pieces the enemies. Deborah and Barak in Judges 5, 2 say, praise ye the Lord for the avenging of Israel. The earth trembled. And this is interesting because you think about what David is writing, you see the similarity. The earth trembled and the heavens dropped. The clouds also dropped water. The mountains melted before the Lord. Hannah in 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 10. The adversaries of the Lord shall be broken to pieces out of heaven. Shall he thunder upon them? Again, similar languages to what we have read in this psalm. Out of heaven shall he thunder upon them. The Lord shall judge the ends of the earth, and he shall give strength to his king, and shall exalt the horn of his anointed. So David opens the psalm with an appeal and a recognition of the power of Yahweh to save his people, not only from their immediate needs that they were in time of trouble and in battle and persecution, but for the maintaining of the good provision as seen in the literal rain and the spiritual provision based to the righteous judgment for the poor and the needy, which God was always concerned with. We see this in verse 5. A father of the fatherless and a judge of the widows is God in his holy habitation. Verse 9 and 10, thou, O God, didst send plentiful rain, whereby thou didst confirm thine inheritance when it was weary. Thy congregation hath dwelt therein. Thou, O God, hast prepared of thy goodness for the people. God's supervision over their inheritance brought them into a land flowing with milk and honey, with basket and store, and none of the plagues put upon them that was put upon their enemies. But ultimately, we were reminded in this psalm of that great provision of our need for the wounding of our head's enemy, as we see in verse 21. But God shall wound the head of his enemies and the hairy scalp of such a one as goeth on still in his trespasses. This was accomplished by David's greater son, who was the substance and shadow that was cast by David in his encounter with Goliath. He was the seed of the woman that fatally wounded the head of the serpent. And by extension in the future, he will wound all the heads of the nations who manifest the serpent's deeds. Psalms 110, verse 6 says, he shall judge among the heathen. He shall fill the places with their dead bodies. He shall wound the heads over many countries. In Ephesians chapter 4, at verse 8, quoting this psalm, Paul is very plain into its true and greater application, where he quotes in verse 18, and he changes, if you look there in Ephesians, he changes the wording from thou hast led, which we see the psalmist writing, led captivity captive, to he, Christ. He gives us the individual characteristic of Christ. To he led captivity captive. Paul describes this work of the Messiah as similar to David, but on a much greater scale. David made captive of those who dominated Israel in their own land and thereby ascended on high and was exalted as king as appointed by God over his people Israel. But our Christ, after overcoming, ascended to heaven and led captivity that which has imprisoned all sons of Adam, that is, all that are under the curse of sin and death. After conquering sin in himself, he ascended to heaven to open the way for others who ultimately conquer sin through death and death through himself. David received gifts from the nations, and the Lord poured out his Spirit upon the new ecclesias to help establish them in earnest of the perfect gifts of the Spirit life to be administered at the resurrection and the giving of eternal life. Peter, in Acts chapter 2, is quoting from the prophet Joel in this particular instance, but in Acts chapter 2, starting at verse 16, and again, we know the context of this is when the on the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit came upon the disciples and they spoke in foreign languages to all of the Jews that were gathered from the diaspora. And we read this in verse 16, starting at verse 16. But this is that which is spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days that God will pour out of His Spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your old men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Excuse me. And all my servant and all my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in heaven above, and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor and smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and notable day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. We see God's response to those who manifest faith and humility throughout the Scriptures in the models He has provided for our admonition, because it all has and will be repeat in the future. Those events that we see in type that were acted out by individuals through the past will all be acted out in perfection in the future age. It is our wisdom to echo the words which David said and to honor the Maker and the Provider as he did in this very psalm. When the day comes that the land of promise must be made ready for his people to inhabit, we see God in action on their behalf. This we see in verse 11. Turn back to Psalms 68. The Lord gave the word. Great was the company of those that published it. The Lord gave the word. That's what we're waiting for. The Lord to give the word, and it will be done. Think about the conquest of Joshua over the great armies of the Canaanites. Consider David's victories as he fought to reestablish the sovereignty of Israel over their inheritance at the very time that he was writing. They were God's victories, not man's. Consider once again Deborah and Barak and how the Lord discomfited Syria and all his chariots and all his hosts. David says this in verse 12, "Kings of armies did flee apace, and she that tarried at home divided the spoil." Possibly these last words that he's speaking about are in reference to Jael, who acted out as the seed of the woman, bruising the serpent's seed in the head while she stayed at home. Zechariah gives us a very beautiful picture of what we hope for in the kingdom age, of the same power being manifested to clear the land of the inhabitants of the people in preparation for the great day of the Lord, and where He will, in Ezekiel we see, divide that land and give particular inheritance to His people in a very appointed and very organized way to His purified Israel. And we know that this comes at the time when the kingdom will be established and His people have been redeemed from their trials of the flesh. Let's look at Zechariah chapter 14, if you will, with me. And again, this is very applicable to what David is looking forward to. This is a little more insight into that very time. Behold, the day of the Lord cometh, and thy spoil shall be divided in the midst of thee. For I will gather all nations to battle, and the city shall be taken, and the houses rifled, and the women ravished, and half of the city shall go forth into captivity, and the residue of the people shall not be cut off from the city. Then shall the Lord go forth and fight against those nations as when he fought in the day of battle. And his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east, and the Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst thereof toward the east and toward the west, and there shall be a very great valley. And half of the mountain shall remove toward the north, half of it toward the south. And ye shall flee to the valley of the mountains, for the valley of the mountains shall reach into Aziel. Yea, ye shall flee like as ye fled from before the earthquake in the days of Uzziah the king of Judah. And the Lord my God shall come, and all the saints with thee. And it shall come to pass in that day that light shall not be clear nor dark, but it shall be one day which shall be known to the Lord, not day nor night, but it shall come to pass that at evening time it shall be light. And it shall be in that day that living water shall go forth from Jerusalem, half of them toward the former sea and half of them toward the hinder sea. In summer and winter shall it be. And the Lord shall be king over all the earth. In that day there shall be one Lord, and his name one. All the land shall be turned as a plain from Gibeah to Rimmon, from south of Jerusalem. And it shall be lifted up and inhabited in her place from Benjamin's gate to the place of the first gate and to the corner gate and from the tower of Hananel unto the king's wine presses. And men shall dwell in it, and there shall be no more utter destruction, but Jerusalem shall be safely inhabited. Don't see that today. And this shall be the plague wherewith the Lord will smite all the people that have fought against Jerusalem. Their flesh shall consume, and it's pretty gory when you really think about what is said here. Their flesh shall consume away while they stand upon their feet, and their eyes shall consume away in their holes, and their tongues shall consume away in their mouths. And it shall come to pass in that day that a great tumult from the Lord shall be upon them, and they shall lay hold every one on the hand of his neighbor, and his hand shall rise up against the hand of his neighbor. And Judah shall also fight at Jerusalem, and the wealth of all the heathen. We're progressing to this age. The wealth of the heathen round about should be gathered together, gold and silver and apparel in great abundance. And so shall be the plague of the horse, of the mule, of the camel, and of the asses, and of all the beasts that shall be in these tents as this plague. And it shall come to pass that every one that is left of the nations, which came against Jerusalem, shall go up from year to year to worship the king, the Lord of hosts, and to worship the king, of the Lord of hosts, and to keep the feasts of the of tabernacles. And it shall be that whosoever will not come of all the families of the earth into Jerusalem to worship the king, the Lord of hosts, even upon them shall be no rain. And if the family of Egypt go not up and come not, and would have no rain, and of course that would indicate that the Nile River, which flooded that area, is probably going to be in flood stage once again in the kingdom age. But the Lord will smite the heathen that come not up and keep the Feast of Tabernacles. This shall be the punishment of Egypt and the punishment of all nations that come not up to keep the Feast of the Tabernacles. In that day there shall be upon the bells of the horses holiness unto the Lord, and the pots of the Lord's house shall be like the bowls before the altar. Yea, every pot in Jerusalem and in Judah shall be holiness unto the Lord of hosts, and all they that sacrifice shall come and take of them and seethe in them, and in that day there shall be no more the Canaanite in the house of the Lord. And if we look in Ezekiel in relation to this day, just an excerpt, as we said, he gives us explicit detail. Yahweh gives explicit detail in Ezekiel chapter 47 of the division of the land, the literal land, to his chosen people, Israel, the seed of Abraham, as he promised, the land would be theirs. In Ezekiel chapter 47, verses 13 and 14, thus saith the Lord God, This shall be the border whereby ye shall inherit the land according to the 12 tribes of Israel. Joseph shall have two portions, and ye shall inherit it, one as well as another, concerning the which I lifted up my hand, and there's the point right there, concerning the which I lifted up mine hand to give it to your fathers, and this land shall fall to you for inheritance. And then verse 21 through 23, so shall you divide this land into your, and, you know, we skip the details of the allotment and the borders. So shall you divide the land into you according to your tribes of Israel. It shall come to pass that you shall divide it by lot for an inheritance unto you, and to the stranger that sojourneth among you, which shall beget children among you, and they shall be unto you as born in the country among the children of Israel. They shall have the inheritance with you among the tribes of Israel. And it shall come to pass that in what tribe the stranger sojourneth, there shall ye give him his inheritance, saith the Lord God. Thus we see in the psalmist's words that they are suitable to the experiences and to the hopes of every believer throughout all ages. We think about David dancing before the ark when it was brought into Jerusalem. The great joy that was shared by him by all the people who delighted in the Lord. Those were made up of the whole house of Israel. We read this in 1 Chronicles chapter 15, 3. David gathered all Israel together to Jerusalem to bring up the ark of the Lord unto his place where he had prepared for it. Later, upon reflection, David penned the words of Psalm chapter 24. Who shall ascend to the hill of the Lord, or who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul into vanity, nor sworn deceitfully. He shall receive the blessing from the Lord, the righteousness from the God of his salvation. This is the generation of them that seek him, that seek thy face, O Jacob. This exhortation to obey and praise Yahweh is ongoing. We only have to think of the hosannas that were proclaimed as Jesus rode into Jerusalem in preparation for his great work as God's mercy seat, from whence Yahweh communicated with the faithful. When he once again marches into Jerusalem to begin the great work on their behalf, the behalf of his people, we, brothers and sisters, want to be along with those who sing praises unto him and are his companions. And then will be seen the subjection of the nations of the whole world to the king that reigns in Zion. When that takes place, all nations will fear and be submissive to the king that reigns in Zion. We see this scenario in Psalm chapter 68, verses 28 through 31. Thy God commandeth thy strength. Strengthen, O God, that which thou hast wrought for us. Because of thy temple at Jerusalem shall kings bring presents unto thee. Rebuke the company of spearmen, the multitude of the bulls, with the calves of the people, till everyone submit himself with a piece of silver. Scatter thou the people that delight in war. Princes shall come out of Egypt. Ethiopia shall soon stretch out her hand to God. Let's also consider Psalms chapter 72, which is very parallel to this, verses 8 through 11, where here he says, he shall have dominion from sea to sea and from river to the ends of the earth. They that dwell in the wilderness shall bow before him, and his enemies shall lick the dust. The kings of Tarshish and the isles shall bring presents, and the kings of Sheba and Seba shall offer gifts. Yea, all kings shall fall down before him. All nations shall serve him. What a wonderful vision we get. Hiram's tribute to David gives us an example or a sample of this idea. This is in 1 Chronicles chapter 22:4, where it states, "For the Zidonians and they of Tyre brought much cedar wood to David." And we know that was all in preparation for the temple to be built. And Solomon, who was certainly more typical of that part of the establishment of the kingdom, received tribute from the nations who sought him. 1 Kings 10:24-35 bear this out. "And all the earth sought Solomon to hear his wisdom, which God had put in his heart. And they brought every man his present." Think about this, typical of something much greater than this. "And they brought every man his present, vessels of silver and vessels of gold and garments and armor and spices, horses and mules, rate year by year." Turn with me to Isaiah chapter 60. Once again, the continuity of the scripture from the rear to the front all speak the same. Isaiah chapter 60 gives us a great vision of how this will take place in the future. "Arise, shine, for thy light is come. The glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall rise upon thee, his glory shall be seen upon thee. And the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising. Lift up thine eyes round about and see. All they gather themselves together, they come to thee. Thy sons shall come from far, and thy daughters shall be nursed at thy side. Then thou shalt see and flow together, and thine heart shall fear and be enlarged, because the abundance of the sea shall be converted into thee. The forces of the Gentiles shall come unto thee. The multitude of camels shall cover thee. The dromedaries of Midian and Ephah and all they of Sheba shall come. They shall bring gold and incense. They shall show forth the praises of the Lord. All the flocks of Kedar shall be gathered together unto thee. The rams of Nebioth shall minister unto thee. They shall come up in acceptance. They shall come up with acceptance upon mine altar, and I will glorify the house of my glory. Who are these that fly as a cloud and as doves to the windows? Surely the isles shall wait on me, and the ships of Tarshish first, to bring thy sons from far, their silver and their gold with them, to the name of the Lord thy God, to the Holy One of Israel, because he hath glorified thee. And the sons of the stranger shall build up the walls, and their kings shall minister unto thee. For in my wrath I smote thee, but in my favor have I had mercy on thee. Therefore thy gates shall be open continually. They shall not be shut day or night, that men shall bring unto thee the forces of the Gentiles, and that their kings may be brought. For the nation and the kingdom that will not serve thee shall perish. Yea, those nations shall be utterly wasted. The glory of Lebanon shall come unto thee. The fir tree, the pine tree, the box, all these things, very, literal and beautiful in their magnificence, but certainly they're speaking of spiritual things. The glory of Lebanon shall come unto thee. The fir tree, the pine tree, the box, together to beautify the place of my sanctuary, and I will make the place of my feet glorious. The son also of them that afflicted thee shall come, bending unto thee," quite a change. "And all they that despise thee shall bow themselves down at the soles of thy feet. And they shall call thee the city of the Lord, the Zion of the Holy One of Israel. Whereas thou hast been forsaken and hated so that no man went through thee, I will make thee an eternal excellency, a joy of many generations. Thou shalt also suck the milk of Gentiles, and shalt suck the breast of kings. And thou shalt know that I, the Lord, am thy Savior and thy Redeemer, the Mighty One of Jacob. For brass will I bring gold, and for iron will I bring silver, and for wood brass, and for stone iron. I will also make thy officers peace, and thy exactors righteousness." In the apocalypse, we're told in Revelation 14, 6 and 7, "And I saw another angel fly into the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth, and to every nation and kindred and tongue and people, saying with a loud voice, Fear God and give glory to Him, for the hour of His judgment has come, and worship Him that made heaven and earth, the sea, and the fountains of waters." We considered the admonition of God's people to ever praise Him earlier in verses 24, back in Psalms chapter 68, verses 24 through 27 of this psalm, reflecting upon the ark coming into Jerusalem. And we see similar words here to the end time when praise resounds not only in Jerusalem, but into the whole earth. All those who have come under the care and the jurisdiction of the King of the whole earth. Verse 32 says, "Sing unto God, ye kingdoms of the earth." Ye kingdoms of the earth. Verse 32 and 33 and 34, continuing on in 33 and 34, portrays our Lord riding upon the heaven of heavens, commanding those who ascribe strength to God, whose dominion is now universal. He gives power, and to His people, praise be to Yahweh. The beautiful meditation of Psalm chapter 2 has become a reality. Why do the heathen rage, and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against His anointed, saying, "Let us break their bands asunder and cast away the cords from us. He that sitteth in heaven shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. Then shall He speak unto them in His wrath and vex them in His sore displeasure. Yet have I set my King upon my holy hill in Zion. I will declare the decree. The Lord hath said unto me, Thou art my Son, this day have I begotten thee. Ask of me, and I will give thee the heathen for thy inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession." We're certainly looking forward for that fulfillment. "Thou shalt break them with the rod of iron, and thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. Be wise now, therefore, O kings, ye kings. Be instructed, ye judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear, and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest He be angry, and ye perish from the way, when His wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all they that put their trust in Him." He, Christ, through God's power, has achieved victory over all His enemies. The power of sin in all its manifestations, from conquering it in His own flesh, to providing a means for the same deliverance to His children and family, and political manifestation to the whole earth. We know the last enemy to be destroyed is death. We read this in 1 Corinthians 15, verses 24 through 28. "Then cometh the end, when He, Christ, shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when He shall have put down all rule and all authority and power, for He must reign till He hath put all enemies under His feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death, for He hath put all things under His feet. But when He saith all things are put under Him, it is manifest that He, that is Yahweh, deity, is exempt, which did put all things under Him. And when all things shall be subdued unto Him, then shall the Son also Himself be subject unto Him that put all things under Him." Truly, our Christ is worthy of that great position that He will take. Revelation 5, 11 through 14. "And I beheld, and I heard a voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beasts," or the living creatures, "and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000, and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea, and all that are in them, heard I saying, Blessed and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever." And the four beasts said, Amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshipped him that liveth forever and ever. So we sum up our thoughts and conclude with a quotation from the book, which is entitled Psalms. It's a study. We can get it in our from our library. The writer here observes and makes this statement. The dramatic depiction of the symbol of God's presence in the Ark, that is the Ark of the Covenant, moving from Egypt, from Sinai, unto Zion, is a representation of future deliverance to be wielded by Messiah. In the days of old, God delivered His people in mighty victories as His power became manifested toward Israel. The crossing of the Red Sea, the defeating of the Canaanites, the destruction of Jabin and the conquest of David, in all points, they all figure to the final deliverance and the conversion of Israel. On this occasion, however, this final occasion, deliverance and victory will be achieved by the appearance of Christ and His saints moving to achieve that salvation for Israel. They will move like the ark once did from the wilderness to Zion until eventually all the earth will sing praises to our God. Let our prayer be that of Solomon's. Now, my God, let I beseech thee, thine eyes be open, and let thy ears be attentive unto the prayer that is made in this place. Now, therefore, arise, O Lord God, into thy resting place, thou and the ark of thy strength. Let thy priests, O Lord God, be clothed with salvation, and let thy saints rejoice in goodness. Thank you.
What beautiful words of the future kingdom we've just reminded by our brother Dan this morning. So, brothers and sisters, all we have to do is obey. So let us keep the faith so that we may be stand worthy when our Lord and Master returns to set up that most glorious kingdom we are all looking forward to. And this is going to happen, you know, very soon. Thank you, Brother Dan. You know, go to the memorial, the breaking of bread hymn, 155. Bread of heaven, on thee we feed, for thy flesh is meat indeed. Ever may our souls be fed with this true and living bread, day by day with life supplied through the word of him who died. Hymn number 155. So Orlando Ecclesia's basis of fellowship is exclusively the unamended statement of faith. And we welcome those who believe and adhere to those doctrines and commandments stated therein. As we remember our Lord and Master Jesus Christ through the emblems this morning, I'd like to bring your attention to one of his parables. The rich man and his barns. A well-known parable to all of us. So what it means of being rich? Does it mean that we have to have 6 or 7 digits in our bank account? Let's turn to that parable in Luke, the 12th chapter. I'll read a few verses, starting from verse 16. Luke 12, verse 16. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast many goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? Brothers and sisters, this is a parable well known to all of us. But how well is it taken to heart? The vast majority of men, the rich man had his priorities wrong. He had them all wrong. He had an eye to the future, but it was not God's future. In fact, he left God entirely out of his plans. That was his tragic mistake. The Lord's comment upon that man forces us to look at our own attitude to life. Here he says in Luke 12:21, so is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. Being rich toward God means giving ourselves entirely to him. Placing our confidence, our lives, with all our plans and ambitions in his hands. It involves giving, not what is left over of our time, talents, energies, and money, after satisfying our desire to acquire the things of this life. But giving our all to him, in other words, brothers and sisters, being rich toward God means self-sacrifice, holding nothing back. Our Lord stood with his disciples outside the temple, watching the people casting their gifts into the treasury. The rich men cast in their gifts. We could conclude usually a considerable amount. Then a certain poor widow came along who put in 2 mites, the smallest of coins. Our Lord then said to his disciples, of a truth, I say unto you that this poor widow have cast in more than they all. Of course she had. She had given all the living that she had, whilst the others had given out of their abundance. This poor widow could have kept back her mite, say, oh. Who would have blamed her for that? But she gave everything in her desire to be rich toward God. Unlike the rich man, she had her priorities right. She had an eye to the future, God's future. When all those who had put their trust in him will be rewarded with eternal life. We should carefully consider the words of our Lord in Luke 12, 33 and 34. Luke 12, 33 and 34 reads, "Sell that ye have and give alms. Provide yourself bags which wax not old, a treasure in the heavens that faileth not, where no thief approacheth, nor moth corrupteth. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." There will your heart be also. So this morning, brothers and sisters, in partaking of the emblems, let us remember our Lord and Savior who held nothing back, but gave everything, even his life, so that we in turn may have life and have it more abundantly. You know, follow the instruction of our Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 11 chapter, starting from the 23rd verse. "For I have received of the Lord, which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you, this do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup, when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye, as oft as ye drink it, in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body." Please rise, and I now call upon Brother Sam to give thanks for the bread.
Dear God in heaven, blessed be your great and glorious name. Father, we come before you now to give you all honor and praise at the focal point of our meeting to remember the great victory that your Son had over sin by not once obeying it, but in spite of it, conquering it, remaining obedient to you, even unto the death of the cross. We partake now in this bread symbolic of his perfect, obedient life. We remember his great lessons and teachings from your Holy Scriptures, and we pray that we could emulate that in our lives to bring you honor and glory. We remember the sacrifice now, his precious blood, but we also remember how he rose from the dead and that very soon he will come back to set up that glorious kingdom. And we pray, Father, for those who couldn't be here today, those who are sick physically or spiritually. We pray that you would suit a blessing to their need. We pray all this to your Son, Jesus the Christ. Amen.
And I'll call upon our brother Dan Stevens to give a word of thanks for the wine.
Mercy, Yahweh, great, merciful, eternal God and Father of all, blessed be thy holy name forever and ever. Humbly together now, memory of the sacrifice of your Son, our elder brother, perfect example, in this cup, the ultimate sacrifice that he gave while we were yet in our sins, that we might brought out of that condemnation to become part of the of your grand and glorious kingdom that we so eagerly await. We pray that we'll be strengthened by this service, reminded of the great price wherewith we are brought out of the bondage of sin unto death. We may ultimately be found worthy. Give it anew with him, his kingdom, glorifying you. So we pray all this in our perfect example, our soon coming King, even our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Yay.
Just a reminder, there will be a hymn sing today at 1:30. Hymn sing at 1:30. Now let us bring our meeting to a close with a sing of Anthem 20. Anthem 20. Worthy the Lamb. Worthy the Lamb that was slain. Please bow our heads and call on our brother Aaron Strickland to please close with a prayer.
Gracious and eternal Yahweh, our Heavenly Father, we come before Thee at the conclusion of this service today to thank Thee for Thy many and varied blessings that we enjoy each day. We thank Thee for the opportunity to assemble in service to Thee today, to speak of those things concerning Thy plan in our Sunday school classes, and to educate those of young mind and encourage those of us who have already embraced Thy word as well. We thank Thee for the exhortive words to characterize our behavior in the coming week and to adjust ourselves and our thinking that we might be more in line with the example set forth in Thy Son. And we thank Thee for the opportunity to remember Him in the manner set forth in the provision of these memorials and symbols to recall what indeed has been accomplished for man. Help us, we pray, at all times to serve Thee, and last, if it is Thy will, send Him soon to reestablish Thy kingdom upon the earth and permit us to serve Thee therein. All this we ask in His name, Jesus Christ.
Amen.